Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. Shalom, and welcome to the 11th program of His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon Himself so that we could have a fresh start clothed in His righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us, Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal His people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, His Word, is still able to heal His people today. If you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. This week we are going to continue our teaching series regarding the fall feasts, and especially Yom Kippur and the seven trumps of Revelation. Then we will pray in agreement with His Word and with each other. Last week we took a look at why the seven trumps of Revelation are likely sounded on the last seven Yom Kippurs before Yeshua begins His millennial reign from Jerusalem. If you weren't able to listen to that teaching, please go to our website and download it for free, as this teaching will build upon that one. Today we are going to see where the two witnesses of Revelation fit into the seven trumps or seven last Yom Kippurs. To do that, we need to start at the end of their ministry in Revelation 11:7-14. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Master was crucified. And they of the people, and the kindreds, and tongues, and nations, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets
tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half the spirit of life from Elohim entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to the heavens in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to Elohim of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. That last sentence is where we get our key starting point to work backwards from. The second woe is past, and the third woe is coming quickly. We see in Revelation 8:12-13 that the last three trumps are the last three woes. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the woes are the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumps, or last Yom Kippurs. Then the second woe ends just before the seventh and final trump, or the last Yom Kippur. If the witnesses are killed and resurrected at the end of the second woe and just before the last woe, then that would be just before the seventh trump or seventh Yom Kippur, probably sometime during the 10 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur. Now that we know when their testimony ends, we need to see how long it lasted. We find that in Revelation 11:3, the two witnesses prophesy or testify for 1260 days. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. So then, if we work backwards from almost any Yom Teruah, 1260 days, we end up at Nisan 10, which is when the Passover lamb is inspected 4 days before Passover. So then, if we go to almost any Passover, first day of unleavened bread, or Erev Nisan 15, and go forward 1260 days, we end up 3 to 4 days before Yom Kippur. So any way you look at it, it is very plausible that the two witnesses will start prophesying or witnessing sometime between Nisan 10 and Passover, or the first day of unleavened bread, after the fourth trump, or the fourth of the last seven Yom Kippurs. Based upon Scripture, I believe it is very possible that the two witnesses are coming a second time in the spirit of Elijah, like John the Baptist did, as the Jews are waiting on Elijah to come before the coming of the great and terrible day of Yahweh. Once these witnesses begin prophesying in Jerusalem, the scales will fall from the eyes of the Jews and all Israel as to who Yeshua really was and is. Malachi 4:5 says, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. In Luke 1:17, speaking of John the Baptist, we are told that the messenger or angel to Zacharias announced to him that he would have a son who would go before the Messiah in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yahweh. Then Yeshua himself tells us in Matthew 11:10-14, For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah, which was for to come. And in Matthew 17:10-13, his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first, or Elijah must come first?" And Yeshua answered and said to them, "Elias truly shall come first, and restore all things. But I say unto you, that Elias, or Elijah, is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they wanted. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spoke unto them of John the Baptist. Elijah never died, but was instead taken in a whirlwind by Yahweh, after which his spirit rested upon Elisha. In this same way, his spirit rested upon John the Baptist. But Elijah truly shall come as one of the two witnesses in Revelation before the second coming of Yeshua. He will be testifying of who Yeshua was and is, along with the other witness, from Jerusalem. He will also be preaching his same Elijah message from 1 Kings 18:21, which says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." His message was a message of repentance, or teshuvah, or turning back to the worship of the one true Elohim. It seems quite fitting that the two witnesses who will testify of Yeshua, the Passover Lamb of Elohim, as having come to redeem Israel, will begin testifying during the time of Passover. Their message, the message of Elijah to repent of idolatry, and teshuvah, or turn back to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, will culminate 2.5 years later at the end of the 40 days of repentance during the last 10 days of awe between Yom Teruah, the day of sounding alarm or joyful noise, and Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, just before the seventh and final trump. This, of course, is all speculation and midrash according to the scriptures, but I do believe it is quite plausible that this could be the pattern. These two witnesses will be martyred, but will be raised again 3.5 days later, either on Yom Kippur or just before Yom Kippur and the seventh trump. What resurrection is this? It is the first resurrection, the resurrection of the martyrs who will rule and reign with Yeshua for 1,000 years. Revelation 20:4-6, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua, and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Many, if not all, mainstream Christian teachers teach that the first resurrection is for all of those who died in Messiah, and that the second resurrection is for the unsaved who will be judged without Messiah, but that is not what this says. The Greek word Strong's G3990 is translated here as beheaded, but actually means ones having been executed, according to the Interlinear Scripture Analyzer. So this would be anyone who was killed for the testimony of Yeshua and word of Yahweh. That would include the two witnesses. Then the rest of the dead, both those that were saved in Messiah and those that weren't, which died of natural causes, will be raised at the end of the millennial kingdom. Revelation 20:5, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." This leads me to Hebrews 11, which recaps a list of all of those great in the faith who suffered and or died for their faith throughout the Bible. Continuing this narrative, Hebrews 11:35 tells of women who received their dead raised to life again, while others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. What could be a better resurrection that those who were not delivered were looking forward to obtaining? Could the better resurrection be the first resurrection, where they will rule and reign for 1,000 years with Yeshua, as opposed to the second resurrection 1,000 years later? If the Great Tribulation, taking place at the end of this age, culminates in the martyrs being resurrected immediately afterwards, wouldn't it make it a bit easier for those who faced martyrdom during the tribulation to accept that fate, knowing that in no time at all they will be resurrected to rule and reign with Yeshua for 1,000 years? If this is the case, then this message should be preached to the churches or congregations to prepare Yeshua's flock for the rough times ahead, rather than the pre-trib rapture that has them all believing we will be taken out before anything bad happens. That message has the flock totally unprepared to face what the entire word of Yahweh says is coming. We, as watchmen on the wall, need to be sounding the shofar of Teruah with the truth now more than ever. Please forward this teaching and the link to our website at www.hiswordheals.com with all of our past teachings to everyone you know who needs to consider this possibility for themselves. Right now, though, let's take a few moments to prepare our hearts to repent and pray for forgiveness for our nations, our congregations, and ourselves before our Heavenly Father in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, with Daniel 9 and a traditional Yom Kippur prayer of repentance, which I acquired from El Shaddai Ministries' website at www.elshaddaiministries.us. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Elohim, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love you, and to them that keep your commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, commands, instructions, mitzvot, and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Yahweh, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries where you have driven them, or us, because of our trespasses, that they, prophetically speaking directly to us in our day, have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To Yahweh our Elohim belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against you. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim to walk in your laws, your Torah, which you set before us by your servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him, and he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before Yahweh our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore hath Yahweh watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For Yahweh our Elohim is righteous in all his works, which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Yahweh our Elohim, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servants and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for Yahweh's sake. O my Elohim, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, please forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my Elohim, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We repent for the early church fathers who also refused to walk in your laws and led us astray by the erroneous teachings of replacement theology, pagan worship practices, and pagan holidays, while forsaking your Torah, your feast days, and your Sabbaths. We acknowledge the verse from Jeremiah 16:19, which says, O Yahweh, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit, as being written for us at such a time as this. We are here today crying out in agreement with each other in the acknowledgement of our many sins as a nation, a people, and as individuals. For the sin which we have committed before you by hardness of heart, for the sin which we have committed before you with immorality, and for the sin which we have committed before you openly or secretly, for the sin which we have committed before you with knowledge and with deceit, for the sin which we have committed before you by deceiving a fellow man, and for the sin which we have committed before you by improper thoughts. For all these, Elohim of pardon, pardon us, forgive us, atone for us. For the sin which we have committed before you by disrespect for parents and teachers, for the sin which we have committed before you by desecrating the divine name, for the sin which we have committed before you by impurity of speech, and for the sin which we have committed before you by foolish talk, for the sin which we have committed before you with the evil inclination. For all these, Elohim of pardon, pardon us, forgive us, atone for us. For the sin which we have committed before you by false denial and lying, and for the sin which we have committed before you by evil talk about another, for the sin which we have committed before you in business dealings, and for the sin which we have committed before you through eating and drinking, and for the sin which we have committed before you by a glance of the eye, for the sin which we have committed before you with proud looks, for all these, Elohim of pardon, pardon us, forgive us, atone for us, for the sin which we have committed before you in passing judgment, and for the sin which we have committed before you by a begrudging eye, for the sin which we have committed before you by running to do evil, and for the sin which we have committed before you by tale-bearing, and for the sin which we have committed before you by causeless hatred. For all these, Elohim of pardon, pardon us, forgive us, atone for us. You are the pardoner of Israel and the forgiver of sins in every generation, and aside from you we have no king who forgives and pardons. We thank you, Yahweh, that we have forgiveness through the shed blood of Messiah Yeshua. Avinu Malkeinu, Shema Kolenu. Our Father, our King, hear our voice. Our Father, our King, we have sinned before you. Our Father, our King, have compassion on us and also on our children. Our Father, our King, bring an end to pestilence, war, and famine around us. Our Father, our King, bring an end to all trouble and oppression around us. Our Father, our King, our Father, our King, inscribe us in the Book of Life. Our Father, our King, renew upon us a good year. Hear our voice, hear our voice, hear our voices. Our Father, our King, renew upon us a good year. Our Father, our King, hear our voices, hear our voices. Please hear our voices and forgive us. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and King, we pray. Amen. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time listening in, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!